Well, we're back in Monaco in Building 20, and we're having a look at some more good Dynamics stuff. The Dynamics duo back in Monaco having a look at some of the stuff that Girish has been working on. He's been working on a demo for a few months, and we're dividing that up into a few different pieces so you guys can have a look at a few different parts of that. Today we're looking at some cool stuff, which is the WPF stuff. And so, Girish,
hey man,
show us. I mean, what is this all about?
First, you said WPF, so
right.
Do you want to take a second and talk about what WPF is?
Yeah, absolutely. And why is it important? What do you get from building? So the typical CRM application is on the web, and so I'm accessing it on the web. What does WPF give me, and why would I even want to think about that?
So, yeah, WPF is Windows Presentation Framework.
Yes.
Can you say that right?
Yeah.
So it's the presentation framework that's built into the .NET framework, so that can be used to build smart client, rich interactive applications, again, using .NET. It's just like Windows Forms or Win32 applications that we have seen in the past, but just with a lot more, you know, richer look and feel and interactivity.
So but we already we have both WPF and we have Silverlight. We're going to talk about Silverlight in another show, but WPF gives me some rich, deep, rich interactivity on the desktop as opposed to Silverlight, which is on the web.
Exactly.
Why would I want to do that if I could get that same stuff on the web?
When you're on the web, like I said, Silverlight is just for the web. It cannot run outside of Internet Explorer, so it's limited to the sandbox that Internet Explorer provides for security and all those reasons.
Okay.
So I won't be able to, you know, look at my local data resources or, you know, my Outlook for in this case or my local files or anything like that.
So that's cool. So WPF gives me full access to everything that I have on my laptop or PC so that I can take advantage of that. And from a CRM perspective, having access to local resources as well as having access to the stuff out in the cloud on the CRM server is interesting. What else can I do with WPF?
You can build, like I said, you know, you said the core of it, the data composition is you can get local data and remote data and
right.
bring them together.
Right.
But you can also do interesting, you know, 2D, 3D visualizations, which is where WPF really shines.
And really, yeah. So I've done a few WPF prototypes, and the 3D stuff is just really cool. So I'm hoping you're going to show me some of that today.
Of course, yeah.
Of course I know you are. Of course I know
you
are.
Okay, do you want to go show?
Yeah, let's have a look. So
okay.
So what is this, the demo, and how do you, there's a scenario here. So once you set up the scenario.
So the scenario is I'm playing the role of David Alexander. So David is a team lead in a consulting shop that does design work for its clients. And today in this demo, what we're going to show is a Friday night scenario. Friday night in Outlook, it sounds a little weird. But, you know, you've done the work all week, and you're on a plane back home on a Friday evening, and then you open up your laptop once you're at 30,000 feet, and you open up your inbox. And
okay, hold on a second. So you're on CRM, but you're on a plane. So how does that work exactly?
So the way it works is CRM ships with an Outlook client, which is free of cost, of course, if you buy CRM. So
right.
the Outlook client installs on top of, you know, your inbox. And if you look, you know, right next to my inbox is my Dynamics CRM add-on.
Right.
That is installed.
So you've got a separate set of folders that has all your Dynamics CRM stuff.
Exactly.
So can you open those up? Okay.
Sure.
So you're already in offline mode, right? Yeah, I can see that. You're already in offline mode.
That is correct.
So now you're actually on the network here. Can we actually pull the plug and show that this works?
I mean, you don't trust me, do you?
Taking a risk here.
Okay. So
let's do it. Let's do it.
There you go.
Okay.
It's
no,
off.
No network. Okay. We'll plug that in again later.
Yeah.
So we got no network.
Okay. I'm going to double check and make sure and tell the people that we really are not connected. Okay.
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 Fair enough.
There you go.
So you have no network.
Okay.
And you still have access to your CRM data.
Absolutely.
So how does that work, and why would a developer care, and how can a developer take advantage of that?
Well, the first thing, how does it work, is CRM takes care of it for you. The Outlook client takes care of the whole thing. And the way it does is it installs a mini web server named Cassini onto the laptop, and it also installs a SQL Express database in your machine. So it has both the front end and the back end data locally on your machine. So, you know, but more than that, what's really interesting is it's the web services endpoint that's available in the cloud. All of that is replicated locally as well. So you not only get your data, but you also get your web service, which means you can also get your applications running offline without being connected to the internet.
Okay, so and that's actually a pretty significant piece of code there. I mean, a lot of developers spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to build applications that can go offline and online, detect the online and offline, and then sync back and forth. So this CRM gives you that. It's kind of free, right? It's just this free piece of the API that you can take full advantage of from within Outlook.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the scenario, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. So the scenario is you're offline, you're in a plane, 50,000 feet, and of course, as a good manager, you've popped open your laptop and you're checking your email, right?
Of course. So you look at your email and you see that there's a reminder for you to fill your timesheet out because it's Friday, end of the week. And so I'm going to just click on this link, and what it does is it's open up this smart client, which is the WPF application that we are talking about. And as you can see, you know, we don't have anything on here because, you know, it's a blank canvas. You're drawing a blank on a Friday evening.
So hang on a second. So you opened up a WPF app, and this WPF app is to fill in your timesheets.
That is correct.
Okay, so I've been a consultant before. I spent 7 years in consulting for a while, and timesheets were the bane of my every Friday night. You'd be trying to figure out what did I do on Monday, and having to look at little sticky memos and stuff to figure out what it was you worked on. So how does this help that?
So the way it helps is, you know, the information is around you. For example, you have it in your Outlook calendar because most of the time that you spend, you typically trap it in your Outlook calendar. But when you have like a professional services system based on CRM, you could, you know, track your tasks and work items as part of the structured system that is, you know, that you have built out. So there are different sources of data available. It's just a matter of getting the data together and then, you know, submitting your timesheet.
So this is a composite application of sorts, right?
It definitely is.
Okay, so show me.
All right, so I'm gonna click on Outlook, and what it does is it takes all the calendar information from within Outlook, imports it over to my time manager application. Where did the OK box go? There it is. So what it does right now is it pulled all the information, put it in this canvas. So instead of starting with a blank canvas, I have something already to work on.
Okay, so each one of these entries is something that's come in. Okay, so here actually is where you're actually accessing some local resources. If I was in a web app, there would be no way that a web app, for security reasons, you wouldn't want your web apps looking at all your Outlook data.
That is correct.
But on the other hand, this is a desktop application, so I have full access to local resources.
Definitely.
So what are each one of these entries? Can I look at the details on these?
So yeah, you can mouse over. Let's just double click and say each of these entries represent a block of hour, which might be, you know, 3 hours, and you know, you have your title from your meeting, and then, and of course, you know, Outlook doesn't track data like what project does this 3 hours belong to or whether it's billable or not billable. So it just imported everything over as meetings, but I will be able to change and say, you know, this was related to design and make all those changes right within
the
application.
You'd also want to choose what project that was on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can say, you know, this was on School of Fine Art and things like that. But, you know, doing this one by one might take a while. So we also built this, you know, multi-editing, so I can choose entire Friday and say, I remember I was in training all day today. So I can say I was in training that was related to Fort Coffee, and, you know, with a few clicks, I'll be able to set
That's
a
cool.
lot of
So data. So I know, for instance, Friday I'm traveling. I know exactly where I was for the whole day, so I know exactly which project I'm going to build my time against. Okay, so that, I mean, the experience here is really interesting. It's obviously nothing like the spreadsheets and the tally boxes that we see when you are doing this sort of thing. What are some of the, I noticed that there's some graphs down here at the bottom. What are these for?
So what these tell you is, you know, it's the same amount of information represented in a pie chart that tells you how you've spent your time, you know, across meetings and designs and trainings. And so this is by category, so you can see, you know, how much of it's billable and how much of it's not. But at the same time, you can see, you know, how your time is split across different projects that you've been working on.
Okay.
So
if I clicked on projects?
just going to flip the view.
So you kind of got a little bit of data visualization going on here where I can look at the data from two different angles.
Definitely.
Interesting. So I noticed there's a CRM online button on the top right here. What does that do?
What that does is, like just like how we imported the information from Outlook, if you have manage your tasks and work items within your CRM system, you should be able to import that over onto the same canvas. So let's just click on it and see what it does. So what it does is it takes all the data, brings it into the same canvas. So I'm still on the same canvas. So my data from Outlook and my data from CRM system are mingled together in the same canvas.
Okay, so here's the composite piece of it, right? So you're pulling in data from Outlook. Mm-hmm. You're also pulling in your work items that you've worked on, that you've posted into the CRM system. Mm-hmm. You've pulled that into your timesheet. There's some interesting stuff. I noticed that you've been working 21 hours on Monday. So as a manager, I applaud that. That's great. So what can I do with this? This is obviously a much better experience from filling out timesheets. Mm-hmm. What happens when I hit the submit button? Where does that go?
What happens when I hit submit is it's going to go back to the CRM system and track all the information as my timesheet record. And if you also, before we go too far, I also want to mention that, you know, when we imported from Outlook, everything was meetings. But when we got the information from CRM system, CRM is more structured in that it tracks what project this information comes from, whether it's billable or not. So we have a lot more meaningful data coming in from the CRM system.
So you can track all that.
Absolutely.
So if you submit that, mm-hmm. Where does that go now? So it's going to CRM online?
That is correct.
But you're offline. You're 50,000 feet in a plane. So where is it going?
So I'm not connected.
You're not connected, right. We pulled the plug on you.
Like I said, the offline client also replicates the web services locally. So when I hit submit, if I were online, it would go submit to the online system. If I'm offline, it's going to go back to the local data source, and it's going to submit within the local CRM system that's running on my laptop.
Right. So that's what you said earlier. You have the Cassini web server running locally. You have SQL Express running locally. So all that data is being stored locally mm-hmm. until we get back online.
That is correct.
Okay. Interesting. So let's submit that, and what happens there? So has that been submitted? Okay, so that got submitted. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed that there's some other interesting stuff going on here. Mm-hmm. Show me some more.
This is one question that you can ask yourself is, you know, you could do this stuff with Silverlight. So what's WPF really adding value here is in the area of data visualization, like you said.
Right.
So I can do some simple visualizations to see how it is that I track my time. But I can also look at my historical information to see how it is that I've spent my time in the last month or in the last quarter. Or I can go back and historically see, you know, how productive was my last quarter, what are the things that I worked on, and show some of the visualizations around
Interesting.
That.
So what you were previously using as a time entry grid is actually now a data visualization horizontal bar chart, actually. And mm-hmm. so if I hover over these, is that going to show me what... So that was 160 hours in April. I spent 160 hours on Fourth Coffee website.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. And obviously, I can flip from project to category and look at, what the time was that I spent.
Mm-hmm.
Neat. So data visualization, it's WPF.
And yeah, you're still within the same application or you're giving it to the end users. You don't have to alt-tab and switch different applications to get all this information.
So the idea of taking that business intelligence, the data visualization, and putting it into an area where the end users, in this case the consultants or the managers like yourself that's running these teams of consultants, have full access to that visualization all the time, no matter what they are. Because as a consultant, it's all about timing. Or time, the time that you spend on projects.
Right. And the more accurate you represent, the more, you know, the better it gets invoiced and your accounting is happy, the client is happy. So
as a manager, I can see my own time, mm-hmm. but how do I see, can I flip over and see the time from my team members?
Absolutely. So this is where something that, you know, that's really cool that we have built out is, you know, I click on this team button, what happens is,
There it is.
Okay. Right.
That was interesting.
Kicks,
so there's a 3D. Can you do that again? Show me that that animation there.
All right.
So you're taking that bar graph,
mm-hmm.
and where are you taking that? So
So we're taking it into a 3D mode where this is me, David. I'm just looking at my tank, but I'm also looking at all the consultants that work under me so I can see everything that is going on around my team for the last quarter. So I can, you know, drill in, zoom in, and visualize, you know, what Kim has been working on and see, you know, how effective this has been. And again, I can flip between categories.
So if you hover over these, it's giving you information as well, or click? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So now you're flipping that. So you started off with just using that grid as a time entry. Mm-hmm. You flipped it over. You were showing just basic BI or data visualization around my own time. Mm-hmm. Now you're looking at the whole team. So you have a three-dimensional. That's pretty neat.
It is.
And so how hard was that to do in WPF? Is that a difficult thing to do this sort of visualization?
WPF is pretty easy because you have Visual Studio, which is the developer tool to build all the code, to plumb the data and everything. And of course, you have Explicit Blend, which is the designer tool where I can take the same project, open it in a designer environment, and do all the design tweakings and stuff. So people like me who are not very good at design, I can hand it off to my designer to do all of this cool stuff while, you know, at the same time, I can keep working on my plumbing code.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we have this 3D. Again, we can flip from category to project if we want to look at it by project or by mm-hmm. category. And again, you're looking at that. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So we've submitted that, and we're almost out of time. I actually wanted to look at some of the code of how you did that.
Sure.
So if we go back now to Outlook, mm-hmm. We can see it here.
Definitely.
So let's say I've now landed. I got home Friday night. I mm-hmm. want to check my email. Mm-hmm. What do I do? I guess we need to plug this back in.
That's correct.
And
see here's the timesheet that we just submitted for 7/21 with all the details. Now I'm plugged in, look at it, you know, it's right now bringing it from localhost, I'm still local, but once I'm plugged in, I'm connected to the internet, you know, I can click on this go online button and, you know, connect my CRM system, you know, to my Outlook. So what happens now is it's going to synchronize and upload all the data back to the server. So everything that I did offline is now synchronized back to the server.
So all those changes that we pulled that were in SQL Express, it's going to push those up. Mm-hmm. Of course, if there are team members or other people in my company that are using CRM, have entered data, it's going to pull that stuff down as well.
Absolutely.
That's pretty neat. In this case, we're actually running on CRM Online, which mm-hmm. is the CRM that's running in the cloud, running in our own data centers. So this mm-hmm. is Microsoft's hosting. But this works identically, whether it's in your own data center, whether it's CRM Online, or if you're hosting it yourself on some other partner host, so some
exactly.
service provider.
So the authentication changes. Every other code remains the same. In fact, why don't we go into Visual Studio?
So when you opened that timesheet earlier, mm-hmm. I do want to go into Visual Studio, but you opened that timesheet earlier, you were looking at localhost. Mm-hmm. If I open it now that I'm online, will it automatically?
There
it's now
go.
Gone to graphic design. Okay, mm-hmm. I get it. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're almost out of time. We should look at the code, because this is Channel 9, and we want to see how you did that. Especially
yep,
that online, offline stuff. That was pretty neat. How you could take advantage of that.
So it's a simple Visual Studio project for a WPF application, and we got all the design stuff and plumbing worked out. The code that you asked about, where we want to show the online and offline stuff, is all this. That's it.
So what is that? So walk me through what that does.
So what I'm doing right now is, you know, I start up my, you know, method to get the CRM connection,
uh-huh.
and then I say, you know, I open a connection to the CRM service, and I check to see if I'm online or offline.
Uh-huh.
And again, if I drill into this property, it's just two lines of code that says, you know, start the Outlook service and check to see if it's online or offline.
So CRM API has a check that checks if you're online or offline.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then based upon that, if I'm offline, I can set my URL to my HTTP localhost, which is going to point to the local database.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm online, I can get a ticket from the Windows Live ID server to say, you know, I am who I am, and get the token back, and then pass the URL for the online system, which in this case is, you know, graphicdesign.crm.dynamics.com. So, you know, all I have to do is just flip this URL, and every other piece of the code remains the same.
Okay. So with this, I don't know, 15 lines of code or so, 20 lines of code, you're able to flip back and forth. From the application's point of view, it doesn't know and doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing a web service call. The web service call is exactly the same. It's just a question of where that web service endpoint, whether it's on the local Cassini web server or whether it's on that web server that's running in the cloud somewhere. Who knows and who cares?
That's great.
Okay, so show me some of the WPF stuff. How did you get all of that stuff going, and show me how that web service call that you made that posts all that stuff up.
So the WPF, what it does is it refers to the CRM web services, the CRM SDK, which is the ASMX service that we have. So all I have to do is refer to the web service, and I get all the metadata and everything back. So now I can write, you know, code with full intelligence to see, you know, say, for example, in this case, you know, I have all my projects, so I'm listing all the projects. I just do some simple querying mechanisms, and I get full intelligence support for, you know, all my attributes. So if I, you know, here's a project, I can get the name, I can get the client, I can get the budget hours and things like that. So let's look at the submitting code.
Do you want to walk through that? It would be interesting to see. So how did you... So walk me through this code here. So you got the CRM service that you've connected to, and so then what are you doing? Can you expand that so we can see all the
Absolutely. So, and the best part is, you know, all I'm getting is an instance to the CRM service. I don't care if it's online or offline.
Right.
As long as I have an instance to CRM service,
right,
I can write the same code however I want. So in this case, I'm defining the columns that I need to pull from the system. And I'm saying, you know, if I have any queries or if I want any filters, I can set those up. And then I can say, you know, CRM service.retrieve and pass in my query. And it's going to bring all the records back.
Okay.
So, you know, if I... In this case, I'm building, you know, bringing in all the projects, but, you know, if I want to bring in timesheets or work items, the code is very similar.
And so then, are you binding that to the WPF objects? Are you using data binding? So
that's
it's once it's in the WPF app, it looks like any other set of data. It doesn't know where it came from, doesn't care where it came from.
Exactly. Okay. And like I said, you know, these are first-class objects, so you can typecast and convert it however you want. Do you want XML or you want data set or however you want. It's pretty simple to, you know, bind those to the data source that you need.
Okay. So show me the good stuff.
The good stuff? All right.
The rest of the WPF app where you're actually doing that web service call to the CRM.
All right. I'm gonna have to remember the name of the method. What was it? Sumbit timesheet.
So there it is. So you have the timesheet ID.
There it is.
And it's just a simple, you're pulling that data in.
So I'm saying, you know, what day it is and what's the ID of the timesheet and all the, you know, the 79 hours or 80 hours blocks have got all of that collected into this collection. I'm just going to go to the web service and say, you know, if you have a new grid for this item, just create a new one. If you don't, you know, create a new one and just say some bit. It's pretty simple, actually. So again, like I said, you know, all I have to do is, you know, create an instance of the service and then, you know, set all the parameters and then just say CRM service update. So in the previous example, we said, you know, CRM service.retrieve and it retrieved the data. So I can say CRM service. You know, there's like 7 methods that I can use. So there's create if I want to create a new timesheet or if I want to create a new project. And I can, of course, do delete and update and things like that.
So the update is the submit or is that the save function? Oh, no,
so
that's
the
submit.
Same and submit. So what it does is in a two-phase, it saves it first and then it submits it.
Right.
So that, you know, it's ready for approval and things like that.
Okay. Well, this is pretty cool. So let's recap. So we talked about the offline protocol or the offline API, and that's pretty cool because as a developer, certainly as an end user, it's handy. But as a developer, it's also pretty handy because you can take full advantage of that to write applications like this one that are fully disconnected. You can do all you want and then upload all of that. And then the WPF app, there was two big benefits, I think I remember. There's lots of benefits to WPF, but the big ones over using something like Silverlight would be, can you remind me what those are?
I'm sure I could hear it, please.
Sure. So the first one, I think, let me try and remember them, and you fill in if I miss them. The first one was that I had full access to local services.
That's
so
right.
If I'm running a desktop app, I have full access to everything that's on my PC. That's pretty cool. And the other one, even though Silverlight and WPF are both using XAML, and so I can be building these rich, immersive apps that, as an end user, I want to use. As a consultant, I'll actually want to actually submit my timesheet.
You want to submit your timesheet.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if I'm doing that, both Silverlight and WPF give me that. But WPF gives me that much richer experience. It's actually doing that 3D stuff. And it can do that 3D stuff because it has full access to the metal, right? It actually is doing graphic acceleration.
In this case, I have 256 megs of video memory, and it's taking full advantage of it and using the video memory instead of bogging my processor and my machine down.
Sure. So if I tried to do something like that in Silverlight, it would be very choppy. You wouldn't have very many frames per second.
That is correct.
Well, this is pretty cool. So we're way over time, I think. So we're going to stop here, and I think we're going to come back and do some Silverlight, because I want to see how we can take advantage of Silverlight and what we can do with Silverlight in a web scenario.
Absolutely. Can't wait. All right.
Thanks, Girish.
All right.
We'll see you on the next one.
All right.
Dynamics Duo out. We'll see you next time.